Welcome, everybody. Take heart. There may be some justice on the baseball field yet this afternoon, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just a little live baseball update. The first inning was pretty brutal for our fearless Brewers this afternoon. It is the bottom of the second inning. The Cubs are up 4-1. Brewer pitching was having a wee bit of a problem finding the strike zone. So stay tuned. Lots of baseball yet to play. Hopefully a little truth, justice, and the American way for our goodly underdog Brewers as ever and always. Also, I just wanted to make a couple of notes. We talked yesterday about the fact that Donald Trump, in an interview, press gaggle in the Oval Office, had noted that he may not try to pay workers that have been furloughed if they're not friendly to Trump. It was a very bizarre statement. He basically implied, like, hey, if you're a Trump supporter, you'll get paid your back wages, but if you're not, you won't. I mean, query how they figure that out. I wanted to add this note to that, and this credit goes to a news organization called GovExec.com. They broke yesterday that the Office of Management and Budget on Friday revised public shutdown guidance on their website to remove references to a law passed in 2019 in the wake of the first shutdown under Trump 1.0. That specific guidance from the OMB, it was a document titled Frequently Asked Questions During a Lapse in Appropriations, meaning a shutdown. And it said very clearly that under this 2019 law, the Government Employees Fair Treatment Act, that furloughed and accepted federal workers will receive back pay. It's federal law. Well, the OMB just magically deleted that last week, which is concerning, to say the least. And very bizarrely, the Office of Personnel Management still has the guidance under the 2019 law up on its website. So just very strange. Also, just a bit of factual reminders as the shutdown drags on. Here's where we're at in terms of potential hospital closures, nursing home closures, and clinic closures. We're right at a count of about 500 of those that are either already closed or slated to close. This is according to an organization called Protect Our Care as a result of the big brutal bill. And in addition, per the KFF, the Kaiser Family Foundation, it is far more the case on a percentage of population basis that Republican-held House districts, they have higher percentages of their population that rely on those ACA subsidies, which has been the specific ask of Democrats in order to reopen the government. Meaning, Democrats have said, hey, please restore funding for those ACA subsidies so people don't see their health insurance premiums doubling, tripling, or worse. And the states that will see the highest premium increases, if Republicans and Donald Trump don't come to the bargaining table to restore these subsidies, are the following. And just think about whether these are red or blue states. Here are the states with the highest premium increases. West Virginia, Wyoming, Alaska, Tennessee, Mississippi, Texas, South Carolina, Alabama, and Christy Noem's own South Dakota. Top 10. Anywho, that'll do it for our little news and factoid updates at the top of the hour. Again, we'll continue to keep you posted on the Brewers-Cubs score. I am really excited to bring back to the show two of my favorite guests, both of these gentlemen now with an organization called the Democracy Defense Project. One is former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Mike Tate, as well as former Republican Congressman Scott Klug. Welcome back, Mike. Welcome back, Scott. It's great to have you both with us.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
Great to have you. I just wanted to ask you both what your thoughts were. We had a very interesting decision from a Waukesha County Circuit Court judge earlier this week that basically said the Wisconsin Elections Commission has to verify the citizenship of all registered voters and newly registered voters before the February primary cycle. There are a lot of questions about whether or not that's even logistically possible. The order doesn't get into those specifics at all, doesn't really deal with the practicalities of such. And since we're going to be talking about ensuring that our electoral processes work well and the confidence level that we can all have in our election processes, I just thought we should start there. Mike, reactions from you in the wake of that ruling from Waukesha County this week?
Well, I can jump in. I mean, I'll be honest, I have been following that case just sort of in the periphery. I mean, I think that what I'd say is that's going to play out through the legal process. What I know, and I know this because, you know, folks like myself and Congressman Klug and...
Oh, Mike, I think we lost you. Jacob, are you getting Mike? Mike, if you can get as close as you can to your microphone so we don't lose you.
How's that?
Yeah, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, okay. go ahead.
I haven't been paying too much attention. I know it's still winding its way through the legal process. But, you know, I think what, you know, I have firmly believe already is that we have a very, very sound election process here in Wisconsin. There's some work being done right now in the Capitol of Madison to try to see if we can make some improvements that I think would, provide citizens with more trust in the process. I think we have extraordinarily safe, sound, and secure elections already. And I know that's what we're here to talk about. And I think the case you're talking about, we're going to see how it plays out in the courts, but I don't think we have non-citizens voting in Wisconsin right now. I think that people who register to vote are able to vote, and you can vote absentee, you can vote in person, you can vote early in person. You know, we have all sorts of ways to cast ballots and count them accurately, and that's what has happened, and that's what's going to keep happening.
And Mike, forgive me for asking you what may be a completely obvious question, but at no point in time have Democrats ever wanted non-citizens to vote, correct?
I chaired the Democratic Party for 6 years. We only are looking to get the votes of citizens. That's sort of how this works. You know, we're not, non-citizens can't vote. I am unaware of any effort by anybody to ever sort of drive. I think that that's sort of one of the mythical fairy tales that gets spread out there sometimes. I'm sure Congressman Klug never was a part of any meeting where they're like, how do we get some non-citizens to vote?
Let me just jump in. Congressman Klug, your reactions to the Waukesha County ruling earlier this week.
Well, we're early in a dance, right? This is an initial order.
Yes.
The State Justice Department's fighting it already. I don't really know what the mechanism is in place to verify those, because how somebody registered to vote in 2018, how can you track them down and verify where they are today? It may be a more immediate request, like voter ID. When people register in the future, they have to prove it. But you'll have to have documents other than driver's license, because they don't check to see whether you're an immigrant if you get a license in most states to drive. But I agree with you that I don't think there's any way in the world they can get this resolved through the judicial system and then actually do it by the spring elections. It's just impossible to do. Mike's also right, you know, that we're in this along with J.B. Van Holland and also Mandela Barnes, essentially trying to convince the public that Wisconsin has no history of voting fraud, has no issues of election fraud. And we think the system as it is works very well, although we do want to see some changes. And from my perspective, I've always been a supporter of photo ID in order to allow somebody to register to vote. And I wouldn't have any ideas at all whatsoever if they required you to, when you register, that you have to prove your citizenship. But there's no way in the world they're going to roll this back before the spring election. If this becomes a decision that sticks, it's something that's going to happen in the elections in 26.
Yeah, I agree with both of you there. There's going to be appeals here. And just on the topic of voter ID, I'll just say this. This is my opinion, not my guest's opinion. This is one of those things that I think that is the law in the state of Wisconsin. If folks are concerned that voter ID is a barrier for citizens to vote, or for folks that might be disabled or college students, the effort should be made to ensure that folks have an easy pathway to get those IDs so they can vote. In my mind, this is a done issue. We have voter ID in the state. That's what the law is. Let's ensure that everybody who's legally entitled to vote knows and feels that their vote will count and that they have a pathway to ensure that they have an opportunity to vote and express their opinion. These are challenging times here, and our democracy will be better off if we have greater voter participation and people feel like their vote is respected. So let's return to that, Mike. Tell our listeners a little bit about what the Democracy Defense Project is all about. Representative Klug mentioned the involvement of former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, former Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. What's the DDP all about?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty easy concept. I mean, we've got, you know, this board of, you know, two Democrats, myself and former Lieutenant Governor Barnes, and two Republicans, former Congressman Klug and our former Attorney General Van Hollen, who have had a lot of experience of elections, you know, through the years. And I believe we all know and have a lot of faith and trust in our elections as they are. We've done some research to see what people feel and what voters in Wisconsin feel about the elections. And we want to try to address any part where, or any, you know, areas where it come up where citizens are like, hey, you know, look, Maggie, I think it's a fair question for your average voter that lives in anywhere outside of Milwaukee. Be like, so why do all these votes come in Milwaukee, like super late in the evening? Right. There's a really reasonable explanation for that. And we can get rid of, you know, we can prevent that from happening. But we're really trying to seek to break down barriers, do it in a very bipartisan way, and make sure people understand via the work of the Democracy Defense Project that Wisconsin elections are safe and secure, and you can take that to the bank.
Representative Klug, you're not really from the Milwaukee area, but you know why it takes longer for votes to get counted coming out of Milwaukee and Dane counties. Educate folks that are listening. There's nothing nefarious there. There's no there. There's just more people there. So it takes longer because they can't open a single ballot until Election Day. Am I getting that right, Representative?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what's happened is those late night trucks have become part of, you know, the mythology about voting fraud in Wisconsin. And people have analyzed it like this Zapruder film going back and forth to see this truck right. And who's handling that box and who's opening that envelope. What Mike and I are involved and our colleagues are involved with is to try to do in Wisconsin what we do a lots of places around the country, which is to allow ballots to be counted the Monday before Election Day right. In order to speed up the process. And my Republican friends who get queasy about this, I meant for God's sakes, they do early voting and early voting counts in Florida and Texas and far larger states. And frankly, I think it's an embarrassment when you're watching election returns come in on election night and they've called the elections in Florida and Texas and we haven't even started counting absentee ballots. So one of the things we're pushing is a state legislation that would allow early voting and so that we don't have the sort of Milwaukee conspiracy theory stick with us in years to come.
Folks, we're going to continue to talk about these reforms with former Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Mike Tate and former Republican Congressman Scott Klug. Don't go anywhere. Democracy is the discussion next.